Thank you, Rabbi Heller. The first thing that comes to mind about the old age Chassidim is that they didn't have any single malt whiskey. And we do. But aside from the difference in the times that we live in, I think the question probably is, or rather the title probably means, it could mean many things, but anyone that read a little bit about the history of Hasidism and the history of Hasidim will know that the old Hasidim, the Hasidim of old, their service of Hashem was something outstanding and extraordinary. Something that we, in today's day and age, probably, if ever, certainly very rarely experience or have the privilege of witnessing. There are many, many stories and illustrations of Hasidim who would, for instance, daven for hours on end and being completely and totally oblivious to the world around them. There is the concept of Hasidim who have reached, who have attained unbelievably high personal spiritual levels of development, not in the sense that we know it today, but something far higher and far deeper. Hasidim that experienced genuine Ahavas Hashem, love of Hashem, Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem. And those are elements that in today's day and age are not, certainly not as prevalent, and if ever, as they were in the past. We also know some other episodes, illustrations, situations of Hasidim who have attained tremendous scholarship. There was, just to note one, in Lubavitch, there was a man called Reb Shilim Kuratin, who was a mashpia in Lubavitch. He was also the chazer, one of the chazerim of the Rebbe Rashab. He would repeat the mamorim, the Hasidic discourses that the Rebbe Rashab would relate. And on certain occasions, I don't remember which Yom Tov it was, if it was Shavuos or Rosh Hashanah, the Rebbe Rashab related quite a number of mamorim. And anyone that's familiar with the Hasidic discourses, the mamorim of the Rebbe Rashab, knows how deep and how lengthy they are. The Rebbe Rashab is known as the Rambam of Hasidus, Hasidus Chabad. And it was his job, it was Shilin's job to repeat those mamorim. And he had to do so constantly throughout the Yom Tov, where the Rebbe Rashab said numerous mamorim, numerous Hasidic discourses, very deep, to the extent that by the time Shilin was done, I believe he passed out. And I think he slept for, I don't know, a phenomenal long time until he actually came to. So these are similar illustrations of Hasidim and the levels that they attained that we can only read about and dream about and hope for. So the question is there a difference between old age Hasidim and new age Hasidim? But I think in order to have a better insight into this issue, it is probably a good idea to have a little look into what Hasidism is about. Because if you want to know what a Chassid is about, we have to know what Hasidus is about. In fact, in Hayom Yom, which is a publication that the Rebbe put together with a quote for each day of the year, the Hayom Yom is set out according to the Hasidish calendar, as it were, with the last day of the year being Yud Ches Kislev, which was Shabbos, and Rosh Hashanah, the first day, being Yud Tes Kislev. And at the end of Hayom Yom, the Rebbe concludes with the words Gut Yom Tov Lashon HaTeva Belimud HaChassidus Ubedake HaChassidus Tikasei V'Sei Chaseimu, which is basically the same expression that we use the same nusach that we say on the night of Rosh Hashanah, or the beginning of the year, on Aleph Tishrei, which means basically just to translate the Shana Teva, the dark of Chassidus and the ways of Chassidus, or the belief of the Chassidus and the learning of Chassidus, you should be inscribed and sealed. But before that, there is the actual quote for the day of Yud Ches Kislev, which is Erev Yud Ches Kislev, Erev Rosh Hashanah, in the Chassidus. And I believe it's a quote from the Tzemach Tzedek, where he says, and I'll explain in a minute, that the love of Hashem, known as the love of the Imcha Lechafatzti, I'll soon explain what that means to love Hashem to the exclusion of all else. This is, I'm paraphrasing. I hope I'm doing it accurately. And then he goes on and he quotes in Yiddish an expression that the Alter Rebbe would often say, which is, Ich will nicht dein Gan Eden, ich will nicht dein Olam Haba, ich will mir nicht das dich allein. I don't want your Gan Eden, I don't want your Olam Haba, I want you alone. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, I believe it's in Kapitel Ayin Gimel, which says, Midi b'shamayim v'imcha lechafatzti ba'oretz, kol ha'sheiri yelevavi, etc., etc. Which basically means, David HaMelech says, Midi b'shamayim, who do I have in the heavens, v'imcha, and with you, lechafatzti, I desire no one ba'oretz in the earth. And this is a pasuk that the Alter Rebbe, he would go to a state of dveikus when he said this pasuk, and he would express himself certainly on one occasion, and he would say, Midi b'shamayim is Gan Eden. And basically he would say, I don't want your Gan Eden, saying that to Hashem. I don't want your Gan Eden, I don't want your Olam Haba, I want you alone. Now of course this is not something which was Gan Eden and Olam Haba, heaven and the world to come, is not something to mock. And Chas v'Sholem, the Alter Rebbe certainly didn't mean it in that way. And the Rebbe explains, in a number of Mamorim, based on previous Mamorim of Chassidus, that Gan Eden, heaven, Olam Haba, the world to come, that represents the concept of Giluyim. Whereas, Ich will manage das Licht allein, I want you alone, represents Etzem, Hashem Himself. And to quote one of the Ma'amorim where the Rebbe explains this idea, there's a very famous Maimer that the Rebbe said on his Aleph Nissen, it's already edited and it's printed. And the Rebbe over there brings a Moshel from the Medrash, a very famous Moshel, that there was a king who came into a country and he had with him ministers, Istartilutin, Iparchin, he had all sorts of ministers and noblemen, advisors that came along with him. And the people of the country were discussing among themselves whom they want to be associated with. And one person said, I will take this minister, I want to be close to this one. The other one said, to the other one, and so on and so forth. Hoya Pikach Echad Lasham, there was one wise man among them, and he said, Ano Nosif Malka. I am taking the king. I want the king. So the question that comes to mind immediately is, everybody understands that the king is the most important one of all. You don't apparently need to be such a wise man to understand that the king is it. The king is the ultimate one you can be associated with. What was so wise? What was the wisdom of this individual? It would seem that the other ones were misguided or foolish, rather than him being exceptionally wise. And the Rebbe goes on to explain this idea of Giluyim and Etzem, revelations and essence. Before we go into that, I just want to slightly digress, but it's associated with this, and that is, concerning the creation of the world and the purpose of creation, there is a maimer in Tofresh Samach Vav, a Hasidic discourse in a book called Tofresh Samach Vav. It's something that it's a continuation of Ma'amorim of Hasidic discourses that the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, said and wrote in the year through 101 years ago until it's a couple of years, Samach Zayin, Samach Ches, very, very long, very deep. And one Maimer follows on, one Chassidic discourse follows on from the other one. And there he discusses the purpose for which the world was created. And he brings a number of reasons that are brought in other Sfarim, Sifrei HaKabbalah, that explain the purpose of creation. One reason he brings is that Eibishter wanted, Hashem wanted, that his presence, that there should be an awareness of him. Another reason he brings is that he wanted that there should be an expression of the wholesomeness of his abilities. But the Rebbe Rashab basically rejects these as the ultimate answers. He doesn't reject them out of hand, but he says one cannot, whilst there are reasons, one cannot say that these are the ultimate reasons or purpose of the creation of the world. And the Rebbe Rashab concludes that the reason for the creation of the world is, quoting a medrash, Nis'aveh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liyis Leiz Baruch Dira B'Tachtonu. The Eibishter desired, Hashem desired, to have a dwelling place for himself in this physical world. The basic difference between the other reasons and the reason that Rebbe Rashab gives is that the other reasons mean that the world was created in order for God's manifestations to be present in the world. The revelations of Hashem, or to use the vernacular of Kabbalah and Chassidus, Eir Ein Sof. That Eir Ein Sof, the infinite light of Hashem, should be revealed in this world. The reason that the Rebbe Rashab says, Nis'ava HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liyis Leiz Baruch Dira B'Tachtonim, Hashem desired to have a dwelling place for him in this physical world, means not only that God's manifestations, the Eir Ein Sof, the divine light, should be felt in this world, should be present in the world, but rather Hashem himself, Hashem's essence. Just to elaborate on that a little bit, the way Hashem set out the order of things is that there are Eiris, there are revelations of Hashem that basically make up what we know as the Seder Hishtalshelus, the order of descent of godliness from the highest levels to the lowest levels. And those Eiris, those revelations, are made up of 10 Sfiris, 10 attributes, starting from Chochmah all the way through Malchus. Chochmah, Bina, Das, Chesed, Gevura, Teferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus, which basically split up into the intellectual part of the attributes, the emotional part of the attributes, and the active parts of the attributes. But those are all manifestations, those are all expressions. Then there is Hashem's essence, which is beyond all that. So the Rebbe Rashab concludes that the purpose of creation was in order for Hashem's very essence to be felt in this world. In Kabbalah, it explains that before the world was created, there was no possibility for the world to exist as we know it. Why? Because Eir Ein Sof Memalei Kol Mokem Acholei, the infinite light, the Eir of Hashem, filled the entire space of the emptiness, of the void. In order for the world to be created, there was what's called Hashem made what's called a tzimtzum, a contraction. He removed that divine light, that Eir Ein Sof, that infinite light, and an emptiness remained. And then he drew down from the Eir Ein Sof that he contracted back into this void, into this emptiness, and that's how the world was created. What is the idea of our, what's the purpose of our being in this world? What do we need to accomplish while we are here? So Kabbalah explains, we need to bring back the Eir Ein Sof, the infinite light of Hashem, back into this void that was created as a result of the tzimtzum, of the contraction, to bring it back to its original state. Now one could think to himself, it seems to be a futile exercise. You remove the Eir, then you draw it back. What's going on? But it's obvious that once that for the infinite light of Hashem, the Eir, Eir being a synonym for Gilui, for revelation, rather than Etzem, to draw down the revelations of Hashem, of the infinite light of Hashem, back into this, allegorically, back into this void, after the world is created, is quite a different idea than the infinite light of Hashem filling the void before the world was created. Before the world was created, it's natural for the infinite light of Hashem to fill the void. Whereas, after the world was created, the world seems to be resistant, at least on the surface, to accept this infinite light of Hashem, and through Torah and Mitzvahs, what we do is we accomplish that the Eir itself is drawn back into that void, and that is a chidush, that is something new. But Chassidus explains, based on what we just elaborated, that that's not the only thing we accomplish. Ultimately, the idea is to draw down the very essence of Hashem. Not only his manifestations, but the very essence of Hashem. Going back to the moshel, to the medrash of the king and the ministers and so on and so forth, what the medrash is describing is precisely this. Hashem is the king, and he has all sorts of ministers, and also all sorts of revelations, all sorts of Eir, which are great. Chochmah d'Atzilus is a very, very high level. And the Giluyim, the revelations of Hashem that go beyond that are also unbelievably high, unbelievably wonderful, and endless. Eir Ein Sof is the infinite light of Hashem. But that is not the essence. All the others said, I want this minister, I want to have benefit from these revelations, I want to attain this level, and so on and so forth. The Pikach Echad, the one wise man among them, said, I want Etzem, the king himself. What is the difference between revelations and essence, as it were? It is not only in terms of the relationship of the Eir of Hashem, or the essence of Hashem, to us, but it also demands a different type of approach, a different type of attitude from us, from the Nivra, from the created being, to attain those levels. When we talk about revelations, we talk about essentially an Aveda which is focused on the person. I want to attain this, I want to go from level to level, and so on and so forth. When we talk about the essence of Hashem, what is demanded is a state of bittul, nullification. What exists is Hashem. And I am there only for the purpose of serving Hashem. And here the Rebbe brings in this word from the Alter Rebbe that we mentioned before, Mili b'shamayim b'imcha l'chafatzti. I don't want your Olam Habo, I don't want your Gan Eden or your Olam Habo, I want you alone. And he says, what did the Alter Rebbe mean? The Alter Rebbe certainly had an appreciation for what Olam Habo and for what Gan Eden is. So what is it? What does it mean? I don't want your Gan Eden, I don't want your Olam Habo. What the Alter Rebbe was saying was, I don't want Giluyim, I don't want revelations, I don't want to stop at the revelations. I want the very essence of Hashem. Just to digress just slightly, and I think there were once Hasidim that were sitting, and I don't know if it was Hasidim or maybe, I think it was Hasidim, were sitting by a Fabrengen or a Hasidic gathering, and they wanted to tell a story. Somebody wanted to tell a story, and he had an option to tell a story of a Rebbe or of a Hasid. So someone said, better tell the story of a chassid. Because we're chassid, then we could relate more to a story of a chassid. A story of a chassid carries a stronger meaning and message to us. For a Rebbe, we'll say, since a Rebbe, we're not Rebbes, so if he, you know, if it's something that the Rebbe accomplished, so it doesn't necessarily mean that it's for us. So, I don't know if this is but perhaps This story illustrates this idea of Midei Bashamayim Vimchal Lechafatzti from a chassid's point of view. There was a very famous chassid who was known as Reb Shmuel Munkus. Reb Shmuel Munkus was a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, and he had a very special relationship with the Alter Rebbe and the Alter Rebbe with him, to the extent that when the Alter Rebbe was going to be arrested, when he came to the Alter Rebbe to arrest him, his release, his liberation of which we are celebrating today, the Alter Rebbe consulted with Reb Shmuel Munkus whether he should give himself over. The Alter Rebbe was able to flee. And Reb Shmuel Munkus famously said to him, as Rebbe quotes, "If you are a Rebbe, but achken kolish nemen. If you are a Rebbe, then no bullet can harm you. And if you're not a Rebbe, with what rights have you taken away the gishmak in Olam Hazeh, the pleasure of this physical world, from hundreds and thousands of yidden?" And this is what basically made the Alter Rebbe, had an influence on the Alter Rebbe to agree to hand himself over, and the rest is history. So this Reb Shmuel Munkus, there's a story told that before he passed away, Reb Shmuel Munkus was a very self-effacing kind of individual. He didn't take himself too seriously. But on the other hand, there are many stories told about his various escapades, which on the surface seem to be comical and maybe a little wild or, gestift. But there was always something much deeper connected and associated with it. The Mittel Rebbe, when he was a young boy, when he wanted to sort of pull pranks, whatever that meant for the Mittel Rebbe, he had this relationship with Reb Shmuel Munkus because they understood each other in that way. And so the story goes that Reb Shmuel Munkus, it came the time that he had to pass away from this world. And, if you want to daven and say Kedushin Baruch, you need a minion. There's certain occasions that one needs a minion. And when one passes away, it's preferable to have a minion. Look, Reb Shmuel Munkus felt that he's going to pass away. But he was a very self-effacing type of individual, so he didn't make many bones about it. He just stood by the door and he called people in for a minion. He asked them, "What's it? A minion? What do you need a minion for?" He says, "Come and see how a goat dies." This was his expression. Anyway, they came in, and they knew that Shmuel, he's got something up his sleeve, and they realized that he's passing away. So one of the individuals turned to him and said, "Shmuel, I'll say vidui with you." That's what they say. "You gotta say vidui." So he said to him, "I'll say vidui." He says, "Vidui, say vidui yourself." And Shmuel sat down or stood up and he said like this, "Ribbono shel Olam, dein Gan Eden will ich nicht. Von dein Gehenem hab ich nicht mehr. Willst du mir wie ich bin, ist gut. Aber nicht, ist du, was du willst." He said, "Ribbono shel Olam." I'm sorry, I missed one part. He said, "Dein Tachlis HaKavone hab ich nicht ausgeführt. Von dein Gan Eden hab ich nicht mehr. Dein Gan Eden will ich nicht. Von dein Gehenem hab ich nicht mehr. Willst du mir wie ich bin, ist gut. Eben nicht, tu was du willst. Tu mit mir was du willst." He said like this, "Master of the Universe, I haven't fully fulfilled the purpose for which you sent out my Hashem into this world. I don't want your Gan Eden. I don't fear your Gehenem. If you want me the way I am, that's fine. If not, do with me what you wish." And he put out some straw in the yard, and he lay down, and his neshama went up to heaven. Now, Reb Shmuel Munkus, as I said, his pranks and his vertlach and his so on and so forth, weren't just, wilder shtick. They had meaning. So if you think about this word, what is he playing games with? Eberstein, Chas v'Sholom. This is certainly not what he had in mind. But perhaps this was a chosid's way of saying, "Mili b'shamayim v'imcho lechafatzti ba'aretz. Ich will nicht dein Gan Eden, ich will nicht dein Olam Haba, ich will mein nicht, dass dich allein." This was perhaps the Shmuel Munkus' way of saying, "I'm not in this in order to gain a reward. I don't have a big esrig according to the most stringent size of kazayas or kebeya or whatever, however big it needs to be, because I know that if I have a bigger one, I'll have a higher level of Gan Eden. I don't eat a kazayas matzah according to the biggest shir, in order to attain a higher level of, to fulfill the mitzvah, the hidur mitzvah, and to have a Rolls Royce Gan Eden. That's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because you sent down to the Shama Lamato, and my job is to fulfill a mission for which you have designated for me, and that's what I'm doing. If you want me the way I am, it's good. This is a chassid's way of looking at the mission for which his neshama was sent down into this world. The Alter Rebbe says in Perek Aleph of Tanya, many of you might know this already, the Alter Rebbe explains that a Jew has two nefashas. One is the nefesh abamis, the animal soul, and the other one is the nefesh alikis, the godly soul. And the Alter Rebbe begins to explain the nefesh abamis, the animal soul, he says, nefesh achas mitzad haklipa v'sitra achra, v'hi amislabeshes medam ha'odom l'hachis haguf. This is the nefesh achas, is from the other side, from the other side of kedusha, the opposite, the other side of holiness. Maybe it was not from the side of holiness. And this is the soul which gives the person the physical life. Umimena boys call me this Israel. From this soul stem all bad attributes. And he goes on to enumerate them. Kaas and gaiva, anger and conceit and so on and so forth. Now it's known that the Alter Rebbe was very accurate in Tanya in terms of what he put in there and what he didn't put in there. The stories are told about how much time he spent on figuring out whether he should put a certain letter in or not. It's phenomenal. The Alter Rebbe certainly doesn't intend the Tanya to be an encyclopedia where he lists all issues that are associated to a given subject. So for instance, if he'll mention Nefesh HaBamis, he's not going to enumerate all the aspects of the Nefesh HaBamis. He'll only describe those elements of the Nefesh HaBamis that are necessary to understand the point that he's trying to make. Now the point that the Alter Rebbe is trying to make in Tanya is that every Jew has an animal soul and a godly soul, and that there is a war between the two, and the purpose of the Nefesh HaLikis is to elevate the Nefesh HaBamis. The purpose of the Nefesh HaLikis is to, the godly soul is to elevate the animal soul. Why is it necessary to tell us that the Nefesh HaBamis, the animal soul, is the one that gives the person physical life? The fact that the negative behaviors of the person stem from the Nefesh HaBamis, that's obvious, that's connected to the subject he's trying to say. Why? How does the idea of the Nefesh HaBamis giving physical life to the person, what meaning, what relevance does that have? So there's an explanation of Chassidim that explain it like this. The Nefesh HaBamis gives the person the feeling that I exist. I'm alive. A person can approach things in one of two ways. Either Hashem exists, and I exist as a result of Hashem wanting me to exist for the purpose of fulfilling a certain mission. I have a hand, because it says in the Torah, Ukshartam lo'is al yadecha. You should tie the tefillin on your arm. So if it says you should tie the tefillin on the arm, there needs to be an arm. So you put on a hand. There's an arm. So in other words, it starts from Hashem and the Torah, and then comes the person. Why do you have his main necha? There's a head, and so on and so forth. Or there's another attitude. I exist. The I that exists has a tzibui, has a commandment to use the different parts of my body for mitzvahs. So this is what Chassidim said. Nefesh achas mitzad haklipa v'sitra achra. This soul is from the other side of Kedusha. V'hi hamislabeshes l'dam ha'odom l'achis haguf. This is the soul that gives the person the feeling that I exist. U'mimeno bo'is kol midos ro'is. Once a person feels, ich ben ha'metzias, I exist, that is the beginning of all evil. So, how does a chosid look at his existence in this world? For a purpose, and that's what I need to do. It's not about attaining Gan Eden or not attaining Gan Eden, and it's not meant chas v'shalom to mock the greatness of Gan Eden or the severity of the opposite of Gan Eden and so on and so forth.